period has a point. Did you catch it? That particular little advertisement was a Super Bowl commercial. It didn't win the best commercial, but I want to tell you what, it's a piece of marketing genius. Did you notice what color the car was? It was red. That's the color of excitement. It's the color of change. Did you notice it was a hatchback? Usually something that's associated with a family life, something that's associated with mom, something the mom would drive. And who was driving? It was a lady. This is a commercial that was targeted to females about the excitement of their life. But did you catch it? How many people here could tell me what the fine print in the ad said? You see, it showed all of the excitement. It showed all the things that was going on. It showed all the possibilities. But right at the beginning of the commercial, when you first saw the little trolley car separating, it says, "Professional driver, closed course, do not attempt." As the car is going up the ramp and getting ready to make that great jump onto the train, it says, "Fantasy, do not attempt." And then you know what? Right at the end, when they're on the train, it says, "Jumping on a train," right there on the train, it says, "Cars cannot actually ride on top of trains." And then at the end, right there where they're swerving into that parking space, something that doesn't look that difficult, but right at the bottom of the screen it says, "Still a professional driver, closed course, do not attempt." And it's funny, then in the big letters right at the end it says, "Commute your way." We're kind of used to fine print when it comes to car advertisements. After all, don't we see things like this in the newspaper all the time? Right there in the newspaper, there are those big, bold letters, only $199 a month, $88 down. It's really cheap. It's really easy. And then in the little bitty fine print that you'd have to have this giant magnifying glass to even make out a letter, it tells us things like taxes, tags, delivery, professional fees, processing fees not included. The offer is only valid for qualifying customers. And by the way, we only really have one on the lot that's this price. We're used to this, right? And it's not bad enough that it's coming to the car industry. Now we have it in our prescription drug industry. Oh my gosh, I can't watch a television show nowadays that you don't get one of those commercials, somebody peddling their prescription drugs. But if you really look at the commercials, they're all about the same. There's this family or this couple or these people that, man, they're walking on the beach and they're having a happy life and everything is going good and everything is going great. And they're talking about all the benefits that you get from this prescription. And then the ukulele music starts. And then the announcer's voice gets real soft and he says something like this, "Contact your doctor if you have uncontrollable muscle movements, as these could become permanent. Other risks may include decreases in white blood cells, which can be serious, dizziness upon standing, seizures, shortness of breath, slow heartbeat, weight gaining, fatigue, hypnosis, dizziness, faintness. People taking this, whatever it is, have any of these symptoms should call their doctor. Additionally, patients experiencing fatigue or dizziness, they should sit down or lie down and avoid driving or doing hazardous things." And I begin to think, with all those side effects, who wants to take the prescription drug? It's the fine print, though. It's the fine print in the advertisement that kind of takes away the promise of what the advertisement was trying to tell you, wasn't it? I mean, can you really drive your way in that Nissan? Well, probably not. Not if you want to live very long or not get a ticket. Are the prescription drugs really going to solve all of the issues? Sometimes the side effects are worse than the issues you were experiencing. But yet, here it is. They make the offers to us. And this ties back in because last week, I want to tell you something. I know I shook you a little bit. I know I got all the way down to your foundation, and I probably shook your faith quite a bit last week with this question. Are you a fan or a follower? I could tell going out that people had questions, and I could tell from the Wednesday night group that people were still struggling with the idea of really, what am I? Am I really a fan or a follower? And well, this week we're going to start picking up the pieces that we shook loose last week, and we're going to start reassembling them into what it really means to have a relationship with Christ. And here is Jesus' offer. "Then he said to all of them, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me.'" Now, I read that, and That's an understandable offer, but you know, there's no fine print to it. And we're going to spend the next few weeks basically dissecting this verse and really looking into it, and we're going to start up this week with the word whoever. Now, the NIV starts out with the word whoever. We are very familiar with the phrase that we get from the King James, and it starts out the word all. All. That's who Jesus is now making this offer to. All.
When Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me," he was making it clear that his invitation to follow is not just for the religious elite or for the morally upright, for those who have their lives together. His invitation is for all of us who are hiding some stains. Jesus said, "Anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Anyone. Anyone is a pretty inclusive word. Anyone can follow Jesus. Anyone who's ever thought to themselves, "I've gone too far, my stain is too big." Anyone who's ever laid awake at night and said, "I can't believe what I've done." Anyone who's ever looked in the mirror and said to themselves, "I can't believe what I've become." Anyone can follow.
This morning we're going to talk about anyone. An open invitation. And you know, if you want to really understand this open invitation, you really don't have to look any further than Jesus' disciples. You ever looked at this bunch of mishaps that Jesus put together? Social misfits and things that don't fit in? Well, you had Peter. It's funny, he became the leader of the bunch. He was a fisherman. To say he was indecisive, well, that's an understatement. To say sometimes he made irrational choices, well, yeah, that's Peter. That's who he was. And surely it got better as you moved out from the leader. Well, then we had, well, the other part that was in the core, there were James and John, also fishermen. So arrogant were these two people that they asked Jesus' permission to call down fire upon some sinners. Jesus, tongue-in-cheek, kind of named them sons of thunder. They were so self-centered that they had mom come and ask Jesus for a special place on the left and right hand of Jesus. But it doesn't get much better. We get Matthew. Now, we all know what he did for a living. He was a tax collector. And as much as that word hurts us in our modern-day society, it was much worse for the people of that day. Tax collector meant you were dishonest. There were loyalty questions because you had sold out your faith to work for the Romans. We had Thomas. Come on, we know what we call him, right? He's what? Doubting Thomas. The one that refused to believe Jesus was alive until he could physically touch. Maybe you're not familiar with this guy. We had Simon the Zealot. That was one of the apostles also. You know what a zealot was? He was a political activist. Odds are he started following Jesus simply because political reasons. He didn't like the Roman Empire, and you know what? Jesus seemed to be the next best option. That's who he had. We had Nathanael, Mr. Pragmatic. He decided to follow Jesus because Jesus told him he saw him sitting underneath a tree. And then we have Judas Iscariot, and where do we even start? And I got to tell you something. Every single one of the disciples that Jesus called, well, they had stains. They had blemishes, spots, things that didn't fit. And I got to tell you, either Jesus needed to hire himself a new HR department, or there was a point. There was a point to who Jesus picked out, because as you look down the list, you know what you don't see? You don't see religious people on Jesus' list. You don't see people that worshipped in the synagogue a whole bunch. You probably see people that spent most of their time working. He was a very untraditional rabbi, and he picked a very untraditional group to follow him. And I think it's more because Jesus wanted that message to come on down through the ages. Anyone. Anyone can be a follower, and I think that's the important thing we also need to realize. Every single one of these guys, these people that Jesus called, they all got the exact same invitation. He didn't go to Matthew and said, you know what, you come and be my follower, but since you probably have some money, we'll let you only do 3 days a week, and you can just give a little extra money to make up your difference. He didn't go over to Peter and say, well, you're going to be the leader, so you know what, you don't have to be quite as rambunctious as all the others. Just kind of sit back and let them do the work and don't get involved. He didn't go to Thomas the doubter and said, you know what, since you're struggling in your faith, why don't you just do this on Sundays? Jesus gave a very simple invitation. Be a follower. No other invitation did he ever give. Over and over and over in Scripture, we see him calling people to be a follower. And so we begin to think about that, and we begin to think about anyone. Do you think Jesus really meant that? Anyone? I misquoted at the beginning that the King James doesn't say all, it says anyone to start that verse. Anyone can be a follower. And I want to tell you something. As fans, well, that causes us a problem. And here's what I mean. Think about this just for a second. If we really took this idea that anyone can be a follower, well, how would that impact my church? Well, let's face it. We like churches to stay the same. Don't we? Don't believe me? I bet you're sitting in the same seat that you pretty much sat in last week unless somebody beat you to your seat and made you move. We pretty much sing the same songs unless the crazy preacher man finds one on the internet somewhere and drags it in here, but we sing the same songs. We have certain ways that we talk, and we have certain ways that we walk, and we have certain things that we read. We like things to stay the same. Change doesn't go well in the church. As a matter of fact, a few years ago when I was working with a church that desperately needed some change, and I was trying to figure out how we were going to go about doing this, I bought a book. I think I've mentioned this book before. It was called How to Eat the Elephant, Changing the Church from the Inside Out. You know how you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. That's the only way to eat an elephant. Okay? And the idea is that you had to, when you were going to work with change in a church, you had to make things so subtle, so gradual, that really nobody realized anything was changing until it was too late and they couldn't make it go backwards. That was the premise of the book. But we like things to stay the same in the church, and well, that's kind of a problem because you know what? Soon, same becomes standard. Soon, the things that we like to stay the same become the standards of our church, right? We can't bring in anything new because that's not the standard, right? New music bothers us because it's not the standard. If you came in one Sunday and all of a sudden the pulpit was moved to the center of the aisle, and you might think, what's Barry up to now? But it would probably bother you a little bit because it's not the same, because we have a standard. The preacher's supposed to stand up here and you're supposed to sit down there at a safe distance. That's the way it's supposed to work. Then the real problem becomes, is the standard, well, those move on and they become the qualifications. That's what we do. We go from starting out with something that's simple, that we just want things to stay the same so that I can be comfortable, and then the same becomes the standard, and the standard becomes the qualification, and you know what happens? Church isn't for everybody at that point. If you come in and you don't look like me, and you don't talk like me, and you don't worship like me, or if you have a little bit of different belief, or you have a little bit different idea, then you don't meet, you're not the same, so you don't meet the standard, so you don't meet the qualifications, and well, it's just a problem. And in Jesus' open invitation, we often forget Matthew chapter 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Notice that word in there? Now, it does not say, come to me all, come to me those who are religiously sound. Come to me those who dress the way that I think they should dress. Come to me those that are brought up in the church. It says, come to me all. Jesus had this philosophy of an open invitation. Didn't matter what it was. See, Jesus was all about removing the qualifications. Notice when Jesus went around and hired his disciples, and that's essentially what he did. When he collected his following, these people left their jobs behind and they were following Jesus. And it was going to be up to Jesus' ministry to kind of sustain these men for these 3 years. We missed that a lot. And when Jesus brought these men into his ministry to follow him, he didn't sit down at a desk and say, well, now, let's just take a look at your qualifications, Peter. Because if he did, Peter would probably still be on the boat. He didn't take the qualifications of Matthew and say, let's look at your qualifications, Matthew. Because you know what? If he did, Matthew would probably still be collecting taxes. Jesus was all about removing the qualifications. Something was going to be different. The invitation was no longer just for the religious. Think about this for a second. This, the area that Jesus came into, the society that he was born into, was a Jewish society. Now, we know about the Jewish society because we have the Old Testament. And we've read through the Old Testament, and we understand the Jews were told what? You were God's chosen people. Not the Palestinians, not the Philistines, not the Amorites, the Hittites, and all the other ites that lived in the area. None of those people are God's people. You are God's people. Think about the culture shock of what Jesus was saying now. Okay, God's got other plans. You were God's people to birth something new that's going to be an open invitation that's going to be to every single nation. It's funny, the Jews kind of missed that. I read the scriptures from Isaiah where they were promised that nations were going to come to you. The Jews missed that. You see, the Jews just wanted things to say the same. Jesus wanted to remove all of these qualifications that the Jews put in place. So what does it mean to have no qualifications? Well, think about what this would make our church look like. If we remove some of the qualifications that we put out there on people to say, come to church with me, what would it look like? Well, that would mean, got a sexual past? Got issues with things that have happened? Come on, it's all over the headlines, the gay marriage thing, and every time we see it, it makes you crawl a little bit. I know it does. That's in your past. You know what Jesus says? Anyone? Had a problem with adultery? Jesus says, anyone? Had a problem with an ex-con? You've been in prison? Served some time? Done some things wrong? Society says that you're no longer a citizen like everybody else. You know what Jesus says? Anyone? Those people can follow me. What about an inmate? What about somebody that's still in prison? What about them? Surely not them. Well, anyone? And you also realize that means any crime. Wow. That's a little hard for me to swallow, isn't it? Really? Any crime? Yeah. Jesus says anyone can be a follower. It means that if you've had issues in your past, you've been recently divorced, or you're divorced, Jesus says, anyone? I can deal with that. What about this one? What about the legalist? What about the people that just thought, well, you know what? Jesus can even deal with the legalist. If you're just all about the rules and regulations, Jesus said, you know what? You can be a follower too. It's anyone. Alcoholic? Pothead? Pick your other kind of addiction. Jesus says anyone. What would your church look like if we had this kind of an open invitation? I don't think many of us would be comfortable in this kind of a church, but this is the kind of congregation Jesus was working toward. Anyone can follow Jesus, regardless of what stains you have in your past. It's kind of funny, in the book that was written about this whole sermon series started with a book. And the author, Kyle Eidelman, tells a story in the book about the couch. All right? And his wife and him had gone out before they had kids, and they had purchased a white couch. Now, obviously, you know it was before they had kids, because nobody in their right mind purchased a white couch with kids. But sooner or later, kids came along. And of course, the kids were taught, don't eat on the white couch. Don't drink on the white couch. Why? Because it's a white couch. One day, the mom was in cleaning the living room, and she pulled the cushions off of the couch. And as she looked, as she pulled the cushions off, and she picked up the cushion, on the back of the cushion was a big purple stain. And the daughter saw mom pick up the cushion, and the daughter ran for her room. Because you know exactly what had happened, right? She was doing what? Eating and drinking on the couch. And she spilled her Kool-Aid. Just a little bit, but then she tried to get it out on her own. So she started rubbing it, and the stain got bigger and bigger and bigger, as it tends to do. And then she decided, you know what? I can't get rid of it, so what am I going to do? I'm going to flip the cushion over and cover it, and hopefully nobody will ever look at the other side of the cushion. Isn't this what we do with our lives? With our stains? You know what? Jesus even says, I can take the hypocrite, the one that says one thing and does the other. When I mean everyone, I mean anyone can follow Jesus, anyone that's ever had a stain. It's funny, as the author tells the story, the little girl talks, is of course confronted by mom and dad. She's scared to death because she's broken the number one rule in the house. And when she talks to her mom and dad about why she covered it up, she told her mom and dad, I was convinced once you saw the stain, you wouldn't love me anymore. From the mouth of babes, you can learn a lot, right? I think a lot of times we have stains in our life and we are convinced we cannot be a follower of Christ simply because we don't believe anyone. We are convinced there's something in my past, there's something else that I've done, there is somewhere in my life that means I am disqualified and I cannot follow Jesus. Let me point you to Luke chapter 9, 23. Jesus starts out, anyone, doesn't matter about your past, anyone. Jesus removed all of these qualifications, but you need to understand something. Since Jesus removed all of the qualifications, then guess what? There are no excuses. This is what Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You see, the idea that you've got an excuse on why you can't follow Jesus, Jesus says, nah, no excuse. I've made it plain. I've made it clear. No qualifications. Just follow me. And I want to tell you something. Fans, well, this is going to bother them. You're hearing this morning, and fans, this is going to bother them because fans seek to exclude from the invitation. And you know why we do that? Because if it means anyone, then it means I'm not quite as special as I thought I was. And so we want to exclude people from this invitation. We'll never say that publicly. You'll never have a church member raise their hand and say, well, if this kind of person comes to church, I'm not coming. You won't have that. But we do. See, unfortunately, in a church, we kind of get the country club mentality. You know what that is, right? You're a member. I remember when I was in high school, they had these things called members-only jackets. Y'all remember these? Your kids probably wanted them. They were about 60, 70, 80 bucks. Members only jackets, and then, you know, I don't know why it was. It was just a fancy windbreaker with some zippers and buttons and snaps and all on it. But since all the other kids had one, if you didn't have one of these, you weren't one of the cool kids. By the way, I didn't get one. I had one later on because I was never one of the cool kids. I got one later on after it wasn't cool and they were all on clearance sale. But that's the way it worked. They had this members only, and we have that mentality in the church. We forget about the fact underneath our cushions, there are some stains. If we were really to take our couch and we were really to begin to look at it, we would realize that we have things in our past also that we try to hide from God. We have some of the same stains that the people outside of the church have. But we've developed this idea that this invitation, it means it's for me. It means that it's for people like me. It's for the people that want to worship like me and talk like me and walk like me. And Jesus never said that. His word was anyone. It's open. Followers, well, they kind of embrace the invitation. This is a huge difference. See, when you're a fan, you try to look for reasons that people can't be part of the church. Reasons people can't follow Jesus. You look for those. When you're a true follower, you tend to start overlooking the stains. The Bible gives us a phenomenal example of this in John chapter 3, verse 26. This is the story of John the Baptist. We're familiar with this. They being some of John's followers, some of John's fans, they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man. Now, that's the funny word, that man. You know who that man was? That man in this context was Jesus. So basically, they're looking at John and saying, John, that Jesus dude? Well, listen. That man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him. See, these fans had a problem. You see, they liked what John was doing. John was new. John was different. John was fresh. Remember, by the time John showed up, it had been 400 years since Israel had had a prophet. And here is John, and John starts this thing, and he's out there in the wilderness, and he's eating his bugs and his honey and dressing in his camel hair, and he's all good to go. And people are following him, and they're flocking to him, and you have some of the charter members of John's church. Okay? And there they are. And all of a sudden, this Jesus guy comes along, and now all the people are moving to Jesus, and, well, I got a problem with that, these folks are telling John. John, don't you realize our attendance is going down? John, don't you realize that it's not going the way that we want it? John, you need to do something about this, because this Jesus guy, he's taking everything from us. I love John's response. This is what it said. To this, John replied, a person can only receive what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and this is now complete. And here's the statement. He, that man, Jesus, must become greater and I must become less. John understood this concept of open invitation, didn't he? John understood the concept that when Jesus said anyone, he meant anyone. That's important for us. And while we talk about this in the big bar picture that maybe makes us cringe a little bit when we talk about people that are outside the church, you do realize something. Anyone means you. When Jesus made that statement, anyone that comes after me, well, that anyone, it included you. It included you with all of your stains and all of your baggage and all the things that have gone wrong in your past. Jesus still says, I want you to follow. Notice the word. Not to fan. I want you to follow. And so while it's anyone, we need to realize it's everything. This really is less of a conclusion to this sermon. Remember when in the old television shows they used to do, I used to watch Batman in the 1960s, 70s. Actually, I watched it in reruns because I was born after it came out. But remember they always had it, and they would have the episode, and they would get up to the point where Batman's in the trap. And they would say, tune in tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. Well, this is less of a conclusion and more of a to-be-continued statement for next week. See, this invitation that Jesus gave, it is anyone. Anyone can be a follower, but you need to understand it's going to mean everything. If we decide to truly become followers of Christ, everything is going to change. Not all at once, okay? It isn't an on and off switch where you become a follower and it's like, click, woo. No, yay, it doesn't work that way. Okay, but it will change. It may take a week, it may take a month, it may take years, it may take a lifetime, but everything is going to change when you follow Christ. Think about those 12 guys that Jesus called. How many of them were still the same by the time Jesus was on the cross? Not a one. How many of them were still the same after Jesus came out of the tomb? Not a one. Those guys that were indecisive and self-centered and worked toward themselves and were fishermen and carpenters and political zealots, if we read church history, every single one of them gave their life to Christ. And I don't just mean in sacrificial death. They gave their life to Christ. They followed. Why did they follow? Because it was the only invitation Jesus ever gave. Not the others. So I want you to be prepared over the next few weeks because we're talking everything here. It's the most important thing that you will ever come to the conclusion to deal with. Everything will change. See, Jesus will meet you exactly where you are, but He'll never leave you there. He wants this relationship to move forward. So you get the to be continued, you have to come back next week to hear, what is everything really going to mean to me? Because I know you're looking at that word and that scares the living daylights out of you. Everything? Yeah. God wants it all. Every little piece of your life. We're going to do a time of decision. And I've been thinking how I'm going to do this decision all week because, you know, I always have a nice little transition about what decision time is all about. And since it's kind of a to be continued, this is the only thing I can do for decision time. It's open. If there's something that you're struggling with in your life, you can bring it to Jesus. Maybe the invitation for you is you've never accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You can bring that to Jesus. You can do that by coming down the aisle and I'll meet with you and pray with you. You can do it by coming over here and getting on your knees before God. Whatever it is that you need to do, you can stay right there and just begin to ask Jesus, what does everything mean to me? Jesus may guide you to come down, especially if you're looking for that beginning relationship. And we'll turn to Scripture. I'll show you what it means. But here's what I want you to get out of this. This invitation is for anyone and everyone. But not just the people that are here. The invitation is for all those people out there. There's only one problem. Those people out there didn't hear this sermon. So if this invitation is for them, that means that in our changing lifestyle, we're going to have to take down some of our qualifications, take down some of our barriers, and take down some of our standards, and say, you know what? I think I like this anyone thing. Because it means my stains are covered too. If you're here today and there's something in your life you need to deal with, this is your time to do so. Would you please stand and we're going to pray.